stories about tonight, about all those 14 years. And we'll be celebrating our 14th anniversary on the first Sunday in March. The Eagle Preacher, Brother Bobby Thompson, will be here with us that morning just for a celebration that morning. We're looking forward to a great time in the Lord, and plan on bringing every person that you can and being with us. All right, let's take our Bibles now. And I'm going to read some scripture tonight and bring you the message. It's been on my heart. Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. I'm going to talk to you about war tonight. And the whole world's thinking about war. I mean the whole world. Wherever there's newspapers, they're thinking about war. But I'm not going to talk about the war in Saudi Arabia. I've already preached two messages on that, and I feel like that's enough. I preached one message here about 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago before the war started, and the title of it was War, What Does the Bible Say? And I dealt with how many times war's in the Bible, how God uses war. As somebody said, war is God's judgment on sin here. Hell is God's judgment on sin hereafter. And God is certainly using the war in the Middle East to get a hold of a lot of people's attention. They say church attendance is up everywhere. And I'm not glad we're having a war, but I thank God that Lord's getting some people's attention, don't you? If God uses a war to keep people out of hell, then war turned out to be a good thing. That's Romans 8:28. And I'm not glad we're having it. I preached another message on the three major mistakes made by Saddam Hussein. He had old boys made some terrible mistakes. And so, number one, he worships the wrong God. Amen? You didn't need to worry about him getting down and kissing the carpet and doing his aerobics. God ain't listening to a word he's saying. Not one word. The only, only prayer God hears is through Jesus Christ. He worships the wrong God. Number two, he's attempted the wrong strategy. He's trying to fight World War III with World War I material. It can't be done. He's a doomed man. Number three, he's attacked the wrong people. Boy, when he launched them missiles on Israel, son, he messed up big time. The Lord done rode him off right there. It's only a matter of time. And the best thing that happened to him is to get saved and get killed real quick. That's the best thing that could happen to him. And I knocked something out of some of you right there. I mean, for the whole world, that's the best thing that could happen. I don't want nobody to go to hell. And I don't want a lot of people to have to suffer either. But I need to warm up preach on tonight. I'm going to preach on a different war. I'm going to preach on one worse than Saudi Arabia. War that me and you are in. Danny, I hate you. You ever done that to yourself? No, I know you've said that. I didn't mean it. I know some of you said that. Many of you said that many times. But I'm talking to yourself. Danny, I hate you. If it wasn't for you, I could live right. You ever said that to yourself? Now, I'm going to preach to you tonight about war with the flesh. War with the flesh. You got a war going on tonight if you're saved. Matter of fact, the Bible even uses that word in Romans. The members, that war inside you. There's a war going on inside every saved person here tonight. That's what makes you think sometimes you're going crazy. Because you are a good man living in a bad body. You're a saved man living in a lost body. You're a spiritual being trying to do right in a wicked body wanting to do wrong. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is a, what do they call them out in the world? A schizo. That's right. I mean, they out there in the world, they think you got a split personality. What we call it is two natures. Like you heard them two schizos got on the elevator, and one of them said, "Man, I'm feeling a little schizo today." And the other one said, "That makes four of us." And what, you ever met anybody like that? They're like a double personality. Well, that's what a Christian is. You think you're going nuts sometime. You'll be wanting to pray and sin at the same time. You know what that is? That's your spirit wanting to do right and your flesh wanting to do wrong. That's the war I'm going to talk about tonight. It's pictured in the Old Testament by Amalek. When you see that term Amalek in the Bible, in the Old Testament, he is a type and represents the flesh. Help me out now, mamas. Help me out. There's too much crying this morning, and it's real hard for the people that's around you. So y'all help me out. Now, you know the war here going on with Amalek. They've journeyed. I always thought that was interesting. They journeyed in the wilderness of sin. After their journeys, they went here and went there, no water, tempting the Lord. Verse 3, verse 4, he prayed. Verse 5, God spoke to him. Verse 6, I'll stand on the rock, before thee upon the rock. Water came out of the rock. The people drank. Everybody got right. Everybody got filled. Everybody drunk of the water of life. And they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? And they all got right and had a big time. And look at verse 8. Then came Amalek. As soon as they got filled, as soon as they got right, as soon as they drunk of that water out of the rock, here come Amalek. Keep in mind, Amalek's a picture of the flesh. Verse 9, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out and fight with Amalek. People come to me all the time, they'll say, Brother Danny, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know if I'm saved or not. I'm just having a fight. But that's the best sign you ever had in your life, you're saved. When you're lost, you don't have a fight. You just got one nature going one way. When you get saved, the fight is on. Tomorrow I will stand up on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And so Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. That's what I've been doing since I've been saved. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, I'm going to tell you how to get the victory over your flesh here. When Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Can you believe that? Can you get a hold of that tonight? Everybody knows what that represents, don't you? Long as them hands is up, he could whoop Amalek. When his hands were down, Amalek beat him. Everybody knows what that represents, I hope. I'm going to talk about it tonight. And they helped him out, and they helped him out. Verse 13, they whipped him out there with the edge of the sword. And he said one of these days he's going to put him out of remembrance from under heaven in the bottom of verse 14. But look at verse number 16. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war. There's what we're in tonight with Amalek from generation to generation. Now the story here tonight is they came out of Egypt through the Red Sea. Now starting on their journey in the wilderness going toward the promised land. They had war. Their warrior's name that came up against them was called Amalek. Amalek in the Bible represents the flesh. You will have war with your flesh till the day you die. Nobody ever gets the flesh whipped in this world permanently. It keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. I've been saved all these many years now, you know, I've had some wars, I've had some battles, and some of them you know about and some of them you don't. But I'll tell you tonight, I've had some enemies. I don't know if I've told you about all of them, I'm sure I haven't. I've told you about times when we had people deliberately trying to stop our church from starting up there in the old building. We had people trying to get up a petition to stop the work from going on when we started up there. We had people talking all over town against us trying to keep this building from being built. We have people all over the country trying to, Satan whispers and things like that have probably heard me preach on the radio or heard some tapes or something that are praying that the devil will get in here and stop our church. And those are enemies. Those are enemies. I've had people tell things on me. I've had people stab me in the back and do me wrong. Listen, I've had some enemies. I know what it's like to have enemies. I know what it's like to have just walk through a restaurant or something and just feel the hisses. And I've got some enemies. There ain't no doubt about it. I've had lots of people tell me, say, Brother Danny, my son don't like you. Brother Danny, they don't have to tell me, you know. I mean, good night. I've had lots of them. My husband don't like you. And they say, well, my mother don't like you. And I've had them call me and say, I don't like you. And I tell you, I've had some enemy. But I'm going to tell you tonight, brother, the worst enemy I've got on planet Earth, you hear me, is not Anton LaVey. The worst enemy I've got tonight on this planet, the worst enemy that I have tonight that sorry is keeping me from living for God, is not the owner of the ABC store or the biggest pusher in McDowell County. The biggest enemy I have tonight is not the owner of a bank downtown. It's not the owner of a porno shop. The biggest enemy that I have tonight, you know as well as I know, it's Bruce. No, I'm just kidding. And that besides him is my old wicked flesh. Amen. It's old Danny right here. Here he is. He caused me more trouble than everybody else in the world put together. If I could ever get the victory over this old wicked flesh, I felt like that, boy, I could just soar in God. But you can't do it until you lay it down. You're going to have war with your flesh from the time you get saved till the time you drop it off and go home to get your new body. I tell you, have you ever noticed how easy it is to do wrong and how hard it is to do right? You can learn more wrong accidentally than you can right on purpose. I mean, just that old flesh, it just wants to do wrong, wrong, wrong. They said they had a fellow out years ago and he was going to martyr him, going to kill him. He was going to be a martyr. And they took him out there and he was going to tie him up to stake and burn him. And he was going out there and he said, I'm willing to die for you, Lord. And he's getting ready to burn that old boy. And they tied them ropes around him. And he told the boys that's doing that, he said, tie them up tight, fellas, for my flesh will struggle mightily. Now, you know what he was saying? You know what he was saying? He is saying, inside, I'm willing to die for Jesus. He's saying, I love the Lord, but he said, I know this flesh, and this flesh don't want to be tied up and burning a stake. This flesh don't want to be tied down. This flesh don't want to suffer. This flesh don't want to do without. This flesh, buddy, it wants to be petted and pampered. And if you don't learn how to discomfort or whoop Amalek, then you're going to be a failure tonight as a child of God. You've got to learn how to do it. Contrary to what some people try to preach, you don't automatically become perfect when you get saved. There's a lot of people that try to teach to their congregation that when a man's saved, he becomes a sinless kind of a creature and he don't never have no more trouble with sin. Brother, if that's the truth, I ain't saved. Amen. I don't know what they've got, but I ain't got what that crowd's got. Brother, a man that said that he never is bothered after sin from the moment he gets saved up, that he's lying or he's found something I ain't never found. And you can guess which one you think it is. I'm telling you tonight, brother, this flesh, matter of fact, your flesh don't even get saved. Your flesh don't get saved to the rapture. That's when your body gets born again. You are born again of the Spirit. Of the Spirit. Of the Spirit. You say, well, Brother Danny, what about that verse over there in 1 John where it said, that which is born of God doth not commit sin. That's just what I'm saying. Your flesh ain't born of God. Your spirit's born of God. Your spirit don't sin. Your flesh don't change until the rapture. And that's when the Lord gives you a new body that won't never sin again. But until then, son, you're going to get it every day of your life. Now I want to say about three things tonight about the war that we're having with this flesh. And the first thing I want to say is this. The flesh resents the supernatural. Flesh resents the supernatural. Your flesh automatically does not like anything that is of God. I kind of worry about a religion that flesh enjoys. I kind of worry about a doctrine that flesh enjoys. Your flesh naturally resents the supernatural. When did Amalek attack? Right after the miracle. Right after the rock. Right after the Red Sea. Then came Amalek. As soon as you get saved, your flesh begins to scream. You'll have desires like you never thought you'd have before you ever got saved. You wouldn't believe the people I've had come to me and they say, preacher, something's bad wrong with me. And I say, what's the matter? They say, well, I've had these old wicked thoughts and these ungodly dreams. And I tell you what, preacher, I'm trying my best to live right and I'm trying to do right. And they said, great day in the morning. I believe I'm meaner than I was before I ever got saved. They said, I didn't think stuff that bad before I ever got right with God. And boy, I kind of look at them and I know what they're going through. They're going through that war. That war. You know when Amalek came along? Right after the miracle happened. Right after God done something for them. Be
then came Amalek. Amalek didn't bother them until God done something for them. And then came Amalek. Let me tell you, when you really get right with God, when you really get on fire for God, that's when your old flesh is going to rise up and it's going to attack and say, what about me? I want my way. I want this. I want that. I want the other. The flesh resents the supernatural. You say, Brother Danny, I've got temptations now that I never even had before I got saved. Well, friend, that means Amalek has attacked you. There, sometimes you have a worse struggle than you did before you ever got saved, because Amalek has come to attack. You hear me? Amalek resents the supernatural. Your flesh, every time God does something for you, your flesh will rise up and attack you right then. You see, your flesh hates God, and mine does too. We don't want to admit that, but it's the truth. You know what Paul said? He said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Oh, I wish I could tell you the times that I've got down. When I first got saved, I was one of these, like most young preachers, I was real self-righteous. And I've always had a lot of willpower. I always have. Even when I was little, I had willpower. And you know, when you got a lot of willpower, if you're not careful, you'll think, well, I can whip that flesh out. Bless God, I'm going to do right, and I'll never do this again, and I'll never do that again. And I wouldn't say that if I was you. God is fixing to show you that you don't whip your flesh with willpower. You wouldn't believe the time. I'm talking 15 years ago when I'd get down and I'd say, oh God, I'm sorry for doing this or that. God, forgive me. God, I'll never do this again. I'll never do that again. Boy, you know what I was trying to do? I was trying to whip Amalek in the flesh. It don't work. You can't whip flesh with flesh. You can't whip your flesh with willpower. It's bigger than you are. I'm telling you, you're going to have some help. You're going to have some supernatural help that I'll tell you about in a little bit. Amalek resents the supernatural. Did you know when you're like this morning, we had some shouting going on in here, and I noticed one particular person. I think it was a visitor. I don't know if they'd ever even been here before, but boy, they were just about to die. I mean, when it got like it got a while ago in here, I'll guarantee you there were some people sitting back there tonight, and you were saying, why do they have to act like that? Why do they have to do this? But did you know if you go to a ball game and somebody made a touchdown at the Super Bowl, your flesh gets into it then, don't it? You ever notice that? I mean, boy, when that crowd, they do just like these people's doing here a while ago. Woo! Good way to go, man! Yeah! Boy, your flesh don't resent that. But boy, when something supernatural is going on, the flesh resents it. It automatically says, why do they have to act like that? I don't like this. You know why? Because your flesh resents the supernatural. It resents something it can't see, touch, or feel. Your flesh resents anything that is of God. Your flesh resents the supernatural. Secondly tonight, let me say this. The flesh attacks first. Turn in your Bible to Numbers chapter 24. Let me show you something. Turn over to there to Numbers chapter 24, and I'll show you what the Bible teaches. The flesh attacks first. You don't have to go looking for it. I mean, when you get right with God, you don't have to say, all right, buddy, I'm going to go find my flesh and I'm going to whoop it. It'll find you, son. I'll guarantee you, that's like going hunting the devil. You don't have to go hunt him. He'll find you soon enough. In Numbers chapter 24, it's talking about the enemies of the Lord. And notice what it says here in Numbers 24 and verse 20. Numbers 24 and verse 20. And I'm sorry, Numbers, it's right in there somewhere, about the first of the night. I had it just a minute ago. Find it for me, boys. Which verse? That it? That's it. And when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first, that is, of the nation. Boy, here's a good thought about your flesh. But his latter end shall be that he perish forever. Hallelujah. Now, Amalek attacks first. You don't have to attack your flesh. Your flesh will attack you. Your flesh will come. Now, his methods are different. The flesh attacks different people in different ways. That's why you should never, ever, 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 ever think that you've got the victory over the flesh simply because you don't do something somebody else does. Because because the flesh attacks different people different ways. Notice what the Bible said here in Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things which ye would. Notice verse number 19. Let's just all turn over. Let's slow down a minute and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Let me show you the battle your flesh is in tonight, and my flesh. Some of you have been about ready to give up. You're so discouraged. You feel down and out because you've been trying to get the victory over that sin, and you just can't seem to do it. And it seems like when you start doing pretty good, you fall flat on your face again. And it seems like when you get the victory, you mess up again. And it seems like the more you try to live right, the more wicked and low down you seem to become. Let me show you why that is tonight in the Word of God. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Whoa. There's where most people stop, right there. Most people say, bless God, somebody got out here and committed fornication. And that is a work of the flesh. But most Christians say that's all there are to it, right there. Not in the Bible it ain't. Look at verse 20. Idolatry. That means putting anything ahead of God. Witchcraft. Hatred. You hate anybody? You hate anybody? That's a work of the flesh. You say, Brother Denny, I just cannot bring myself to love that person. You know what your problem is? Your flesh has attacked you and got the victory over you, and you're looking down your nose at that person who committed adultery or got drunk, and you're just as much a victim of the flesh as they are. Amen? Say amen. I can't hear you back in there. But I'm telling you, hatred is a work of the flesh. Look here what it says. Not only that, it says emulation. Oh, I'm sorry. Variance. Emulation. That means trying to keep up with the Joneses. Wrath. Strife. Seditions. Heresies. Envyings. If you're jealous of somebody else, that's the flesh working on you. Boy, you say, Lord, have mercy, preacher. What's the use in even trying? You can have victory over the flesh, and I'm going to tell you about it a while ago. Did you know just to envy somebody is a work of the flesh, according to that verse, in the same verse with murder and in idolatry and adultery? That same verse said, if you're jealous of somebody, you know, boy, I'll tell you, Lord, have mercy. Our churches are so filled with jealousy now. You know, I used to go to them preachers' fellowship. I hardly ever get to anymore because I have to preach so much, and I just can't make it. But, boy, I've been to some of them things, and I've seen some of the most jealous, pride-filled peacocks you've ever met in your life. I mean, absolutely, it ain't no wonder God can't bless them. It's no, they are so filled with their self. They, when another preacher walks in, they'll stir him up one side and down the other, trying to find something wrong with him. I mean, singers in churches, that when somebody shouts, when somebody's singing, they'll get mad if somebody don't shout when they're, well, I believe that makes God want to puke, don't you? That ain't nothing but a work of the flesh. Some of these singing conventions are probably a stinking, stinking smell in the nostrils of God, and it's nothing more than a work of the flesh. That's Amalek, brother. God's not in a bunch of mess like that. It said envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, as which I tell you before, as I told you in time past, which they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That ain't a verse talking about going to heaven. That's a verse about talking about inheritance in the kingdom. But that verse is talking about, brother, what the Bible says about the works of the flesh. And if a person lives in the work of their flesh and never be saved, they'll go to hell. And if a saved person lets the flesh have his way, they'll be, the Bible said, to be carnally minded is death. They're dead spiritually and have no life in them. Now let me show you how Amalek will attack you. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 25. Deuteronomy, the fifth book in the Bible, and let's look at verse number 25. Deuteronomy chapter 25, and I'm going to show you how, the methods that Amalek will attack. Oh, if I could tell you the struggle and the battle that I've had with my flesh, I'm sure you've had the same thing if you've been saved. This old flesh never gives up. It never gives up. That's why I like what old Dr. Ruckman said. You might have heard him say that one time. If you ain't saved, you can't understand this. But he said he used to get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, "All right, what are you up to today?" That's the way your flesh does, buddy. That's the way your old flesh is always up to something. It's up to something. If you make it go to church, it'll try to get a little glory while it's there. If you make it do right, it'll try to take the credit for it. And if you let it have its way, it'll tell you everything's all right and then make you feel guilty as a devil. It'll get you one way or another. Deuteronomy 25 tells us how Amalek attacks. Verse 17. Here it goes. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when you were come forth out of Egypt. Here he goes now. Here he goes. Here's how Amalek will get you. How he met thee by the way in your normal course of everyday life. That's where your flesh pops up. And smote the hindmost of thee. Kicked you in the rear, I reckon that's what that means. And even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, look at it! And he feared not God! My. You know what it said? Amalek will see you in the way living for God, and it'll sneak up behind you and get that's weak and feeble when you're faint. And he feared not God. Have you ever scared? I've had people tell me, this is going to shock some of you, but there's probably at least 30, 40 people in here that need this. This is awful to say, but I've had several people. They said, "Brother Danny, I've been down praying before." Listen to me now, folks. I've had people say, "Brother Danny, I've been down praying before, and while I was praying," they said, "there'd just something come over me and just start wanting me to cuss God." And they said, "It scared me." You say, "Brother Danny, I don't think it." I've had more than one person tell me that. Them demon spirits come up by praying and start wanting to get right with God. Your flesh, buddy, will begin to crawl. Your flesh hates God. You hear me? Your flesh hates God. It hates the supernatural. And your flesh will attack in your weakest point. Flesh will get you. Don't ever doubt it for a second, friend. The devil sent demons to work you over, and he knows your weak point. Now, personally tonight, I know this ain't true for a lot of you. You could set an ice-cold beer down right there tonight, and it'd never turn my head. I don't have the slightest. I never have. I mean, I'm not saying that because I'm good. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm mean as the rest of you, probably meaner. But I'm just saying that just never has been something that tempted me. Others of you in here tonight, you could walk into your house, nobody home, and there set a big ice cold beer, and it'd bother you. That flesh would say, "Oh, come on. It's been a long time, ain't it? Just one won't hurt. Just go ahead and see it, see how it feels. See if you can handle it." That flesh attacks at your weakest point. You know what? I had a man tell me recently, this man was a preacher. He said, "I don't have no trouble with this. I don't have no trouble with that." He's naming up things that didn't tempt him. Well, I said, "Nothing, Lord, in mercy, man. He must be perfect." And he said, "You know what my problem is?" He said, "Food." He said, "I can't resist food. I want to eat all the time." He said, "That's my biggest hang-up." There's an honest man, you know what? There's an honest man. You know what we do? Us Christians! We look at somebody and say, "Oh, bless God, I heard old so-and-so smoked a joint. I heard old so-and-so got drunk. That's bad. But buddy, we can stuff our gut and worship food and worship our belly and never think that that's just as much a work of the flesh as a man drinking beer. You say, "Now, Brother Danny, you can't tell me that it's bad to eat, to overeat as it is drink." I didn't say it was as bad. I said it's as much the work of the flesh. Amen. The gods are belly. Do you know it's a sin to eat too much? Do you know that you can't look down your nose at somebody else when you can't push the plate back when it says enough?
I mean, I have a problem with it too, man. I like food. Most of y'all sitting say, man, how do you eat so much and be so little? But I tell you, I have to push it away. I have to push it away. There's sometimes there's a little boy speak to me and says, that's all right, son. Don't make a pig out of yourself now. That's what that fella told me. He said, that's my biggest problem. I can't push the plate away. He said, well, Brother Danny, I heard of another sister. Didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't cuss, didn't chew. Didn't do anything about it you can name that would be a sin. She run to a preacher not long ago and told her, she said, preacher, I've got a problem with my mouth. She said, I can't keep my mouth shut. And he looked back at her and he told her, he said, sister, you better get the victory. That's the flesh attacking you. See, the devil knows that beer can might bother old so-and-so. The devil knows that overeating might bother old so-and-so. The devil knows some of you ladies, that you couldn't. There ain't enough money in this world to make you run around on your husband. There ain't enough money in this world to make you take a drink of beer. There ain't enough money in this world to get you to steal money that don't belong to you. But your flesh rips on your tongue. You couldn't keep your mouth shut if your life depended on it. And the worst thing about it is you don't even think it's wrong. The devil has attacked you and you can't get the victory over it. You say, well, I'm not doing nothing wrong. Then you're the only perfect person in here. Tell us your secret. You say, you got a problem gossiping? Nope. You say, you got a problem anything? None of your business. You know I do. I'd love to know what Brother Danny's sin is. Well, I'm thank God I don't know what all yours is. Thank God I don't. Amen! Hallelujah. Boy, you know, I shouldn't have said that, should I? See, really, I'm a murderer. I go out at night, shoot people. They think we built this building. Robbed a few banks. Flesh. No, I'm just kidding. I'm telling you something tonight, folks. That flesh will get you at your weak point. See, he ain't stupid. He knows! He knows what'll get you! If I could talk real plain tonight, we would really nail some things down. But I'm sure you understand that he's sneaky. He's subtle. He's conniving. He hits you at your weak point. Some of your problems are tip. You're tithe. Some of you, that might be, you're tithe. Some people say, boy, I don't have no trouble. I love church. I love the Lord. I love to read the Bible. But when it comes payday, I just cannot hardly stand to think, I made $400 this week. That means I got to give $40 to the church. And some people can't get the victory in Jesus because they can't get the victory over that thing right there. That's right. Now, I probably hit on something that's bothering somebody, and the flesh is attacking you. The flesh is attacking you. Listen, have you ever noticed how that your flesh will cooperate anytime you want to do something wicked, but it will not cooperate when you try to do something right? Have you ever noticed when it comes Bible reading time, I hear these people say, boy, I just can't go to sleep at night. Son, I'll tell you how to go to sleep. Pick your Bible up and start reading it. You'll be out in 5 minutes. I'll guarantee you one thing, that flesh will go. I get my Bible out and I start. I don't care how long I sleep. I get my Bible out and I'll start reading. And the battle increased that day. There's some place to start, ain't it? Howbeit, the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot. Howbeit, the children of Israel, king of Israel, somebody, Israel, stayed himself in his chariot against the Syrians. I read the same verse 10 times trying to wake myself up. And when I get through, I think, well, did I read that chapter? Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. I get some mercy. Christ, I hate you. And I say, but I might as well turn the light out. Let and turn the light out and toss and turn and toss and turn and can't go to sleep. Hey, I guarantee there's people sitting here tonight. You're sitting here, you're just like this. You're about to go to sleep. You look like you're in a coma, son. I mean, you're sitting there tonight, and brother, you'll go home tonight. You'll get home at 9:30, and well, you'll fix you a sandwich, sit back in that easy chair, and turn that TV on, and sit up till 12 o'clock tonight, and never bother. Your flesh will cooperate When you try to do something it likes, but your flesh won't cooperate. Listen, hey buddy, hey, when it comes Thursday evening, on Thursday evening, when that old flesh said, Lord, I'm tired. Oh, I'm sick. Oh, I can't make it tonight. I know people need to be visited, but I'm tired. And so the wife comes in and says, honey, it's bowling night. What? Yeah. Where's my bowling bag? Where's my shoes? Oh, I'll be back at 12, honey. Boy, you come in about 12 o'clock at night. Oh, hallelujah, we won. Whoa, we whooped up on them tonight. Oh, it was a great time. You ever notice how your flesh will cooperate?
Yeah, man.
When you want to do something
right.
That it likes?
Right.
Boy, I'll tell you, when it comes Wednesday night prayer meeting, the old flesh sure does feel bad. Oh, Lord, it's a sin to overdo it. God wants us to take care of our bodies. I'm abusing myself. I'm defiling the temple if I go to church tonight. I need to stay home and rest. But Lord, when it was Christmas time, they'd go out 4 nights a week. I've seen them grandmas that look like they're on an IV, man. Out there walking around in Kmart, 95 years old, pushing one of them little buggies till they have to run them out, turn the lights out, to get them to leave at 9:30 at night and can't even come to the house of God and sit 45 minutes and hear somebody preach. That's your flesh. That's your flesh. That's your flesh. They can snore during a 30-minute prayer meeting and can't make it to Sunday school by 10 o'clock on Sunday morning and can jump out of there like Superman at 6 o'clock Monday morning. Because you know why the flesh will do that on Monday morning? It's going to get paid. And it's going to get some money out of it. And might buy it something it likes. But buddy, when it comes time to go to the house of God. Oh. You want to meditate on St. Mattress a little while. Stay on Sunday night and watch I Love Lucifer. And just can't make it. Just can't make it. I'm not fussing at you. I'm just saying, have you ever noticed how your flesh will cooperate? Hey, flesh, you want to stay out and pray about an hour? No. Lord, no. I'm dying. Somebody call. Hey, flesh, let's go down to Shawnee's and eat the breakfast. Be right there. Let's go eat the breakfast bar. Hallelujah. I'm ready to go. Woo! The Lord's blessed us tonight. Hey, when you get a bunch of young people, I'm not trying to be ugly, I'm just making a point. You get a bunch of young people and say, boy, we're going to Carowind Saturday and some they'll be here, have the 20 bucks stuck in their pocket, ready to leave at 6 o'clock in the morning. You say, we're going to go give out tracts? Oh, then come Amalek. Amalek don't like to give out tracts. The reason some of you never give out tracts, because Amalek don't want to, and you do what Amalek tells you to do. You know, I preach to you a lot on them dogs. You got that black dog and that white dog. You got a black dog inside of you. That's your flesh. You got a white dog inside of you. That's your spirit. And they're going like that all the time. Dog fight. Whichever one you face the most, that's going to win. That's right, brother. That's the one that's going to win. Hey, you know what you ought to do? I'm going to get ready to tell you how to get the victory over it. Amalek don't want to give out a tract. No, he don't. Walk in the mall, take you a handful of tract. Amalek says, put them up. Obey the law of the land. You ever noticed how religious Amalek gets when you want to do something for God? He knows every verse of Scripture there is when you're wanting to do something for God against what you're going to do. Buddy, that Amalek's a slick one, you know it. He's your worst enemy. Buddy, I could really love the Lord if it wasn't for my husband. I mean, no, that ain't your worst enemy. Your flesh is your worst enemy. Your flesh. Your rotten, stinking flesh. You know what I bet you?
There's probably some of you in here right now tonight. I was thinking about this morning. I think it might have been the scene when the choir practiced something, and just something hit me. Something says, there's somebody in here mad at you, and they won't even, and you don't even know it. I said, yeah, that's probably true. There's probably somebody in here that I have unknowingly hurt them over something, and they're mad or hurt at me, and they're hindered all the time. And I think, well, Lord, what am I supposed to do about that? And the Lord said, well, you didn't do nothing intentionally, did you? I said, Lord, no. Why would I want to? Last place I'd ever hurt is this place here. If I want to make somebody mad, I'll do it in one of these old joints out here, not in the house of God. And the Lord said, well, just don't worry about it then. Let them deal with it. Amen. Do you know something tonight? That flesh, he'll say, Brother Danny don't like you. Brother Danny didn't come and see you when you were sick. Brother Danny didn't do that. Brother Danny don't care if you even come or not. But have you noticed how much Brother Danny mentions so-and-so, and he likes them, and he don't like you? Have you? You know how I know he does that to you? Because he comes to me and says, so-and-so is mad at you. You can't listen to all them voices that start coming through your flesh. You remember how they used to ask you over to eat, and they don't ever ask you to eat no more, Danny? Yeah, that's right. First thing you know, I've got heart. Well, you just wait. Next time I see him, he better not open his mouth to me. You know, that's it. All that is just a bunch of flesh. Just a bunch of flesh. Hey, we need to admit that our flesh attacks, that we need to get our heart right with God. Listen, we're all just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. And brother, we need to realize the flesh attacks at your weak point. The devil knows what your weak point is. All right, quickly. I'll tell you one more and I'm going to be through. Victory over the flesh. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. I'm going to tell you quickly tonight how to have victory over the flesh. You said, hallelujah, I've been waiting to hear this. Well, it ain't going to be as good as you think, because you think I'm going to tell you something that will make you have the victory once and for all. And the only way you can do that is die. If you're going to live, here's the only way you can do it. One day at a time. One day at a time. 1 Samuel 15. Buddy, them old boys over in Saudi Arabia, they ain't over playing games. Son, them boys got their armor on. They got their helmet. They got them M16s or whatever. Son, them boys got their boots on. They got them camouflage breeches on. Them boys over in Saudi Arabia tonight, they're geared up to fight. They know it's going to be a day-by-day thing till that war is over. They go out there walking around sightseeing with sunglasses on, a picture of Gatorade over in Iraq, they'll get their head blowed off. The war ain't over. And tonight, you and I, it's no time to relax. It's no time to let up. It's not a time to enjoy the scenery down here. The war ain't over! Look at 1 Samuel 15:1. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up out of Egypt. That's when me and you came out of our sin. Amalek was waiting on us. Verse 3, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. You know what the New Testament said? Neither give occasion to the flesh. Don't make provision for the flesh. The Old Testament said the same thing. Spare them not. Did you know if you make a leeway for your flesh to have its way, it'll get the victory over you? Yes, amen? Spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Now the Bible tells them all the way through there, kill him, kill him, kill him, kill him, kill him. That's the only way you can have victory over Amalek. Get him with that sword. Get him with the sword. The Lord Jesus Christ must do the fighting. The Bible said, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. The Bible said in Proverbs 3:5 that the battle tells, it's the Lord's battle all the way through. The battle is the Lord. You know what God wanted His people to do? He wanted them to march into battle trusting in Him. You know what we got to do every day of our life? Hear me tonight, child of God that's already given up. Hear me tonight, you that have just given up and said, fooey with it. I can't whip Amalek. I'm just going to let him have his way. Hear me tonight. Rise up, get your sword, go in the night.
name of the Lord and say, all right, Lord, I'm going to go after the flesh today in your power, in your strength. I can't do it by myself. In the name of the Lord, I'm going after it. Self-confidence is suicide. Number two, rest in the Lord. Just keep you cool now. Don't get excited. I've had people come in and say, Brother Daniel, I've sinned. I've sinned. Brother Daniel, I think I'm just going to quit and forget all. No. Now calm down now. Calm down. You lost a battle with Amalek. That's bad and you suffered for it. Maybe he took something away from you that you can't get back. But I'm telling you, the war ain't over. Just because you lost the battle with Amalek last week don't mean you have to lose it this week. Teenager tonight, listen. Teenager, hear me. There's some of you young people here tonight, I know what you're facing. Them teenagers, a lot of times they'll come up and they'll say, Yeah, you young people, you got it made, you know. You don't have to put up with the temptations us teenagers do. I've had them boys come in, they'll say, you don't have to put up with what we do. We're not married and everything like you. Hey, tell me about it, friend. Come on, tell me about it. Let's hear it tonight. Listen, just because you lost last week don't mean you have to lose this week. Get back up. Get your sword in your hand. Get back on the front line for God. Whip that flesh. In the power of the Lord. Drawn out of God. What does the Bible say? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. When them Iraqis come down in the Kafji the other day, if our boys had just stood there, they'd have took that little town over and possessed it. But buddy, when they came in, son, they swarmed over. They said it looked like swarms of flies as so many bombers come over that town. And they, of course, ran back north, back over the border. If me and you would do that to our flesh, you'll be after you in the morning. Don't you worry about it. He'd flee from us. And then pray. Pray. I believe that if a person don't pray, there is no way in the world they're going to have victory. Going to church, you say, boy, I'm proud of myself. Went to church twice today. Son, that ain't the tenth of it. All I'm doing tonight is pointing you in the right direction. You're going to have to do it all week on your own self and lonesome, buddy. Just you and God. You got time to drink coffee in the morning, you got time to pray for a little while. Amen! You got time to put your false teeth in, you got time to pray. You got time to shine your shoes and brush your hair. You got time to go out and start the car and get the frost off the windshield. You got time to pray. What you think about a person that just jumped right out of bed in their underwear or something and run out and start the car and go driving down the road? No, they didn't knock the frost off the windshield, idiot. They'd have a wreck before they have to go to the hospital looking like that. Hair not combed, teeth not brushed, or nothing. That stupid thing. Well, listen, that's the way some of us go out spiritually. It ain't no wonder we wreck for at 9 o'clock in the morning. It ain't no wonder the devil gets a victory over it. You say, well, I'm tired. I'm going to wait till I get home and pray. You mean you're going to wait till you fought all day long in the war before you pick up your sword? Lord have mercy, you can't win no battle like that. What if them soldiers went out and said, well, I didn't have time. I just come out here in my big boxer shorts, you know, and brought my toothbrush, you know, while they'd get their fool head blowed off. I'm telling you what, buddy, you better get up in time to put your armor on. Joshua discomfited Amalek with what? Edge of the sword. Memorize scripture. The word of God. I'll say this and then one more thing and I'm through. You know how to get victory over the flesh? Memorize scripture that deals with whatever your problem is. For example, if it's alcohol, how many of you know at least where two verses of scripture are in the Bible that deal with alcohol? Raise your hand. If you know where at least two of them are, and you can put your finger on them right now. Well, that's pretty many, more than most churches. Well, let me ask you something. If you got a problem with that temptation, how you ever going to resist it if you don't even have your sword? Tell me one, boys. We just studied one of them Wednesday night. What is it? Proverbs 29:1. I mean 21. I'm sorry. What's the other one? Habakkuk. Somebody say Habakkuk 2. Habakkuk 2:15. Right. All right. Let's say. Let's not get too personal. What about stealing? Say,
Brother Danny, I just have this awful temptation when I'm at work to take things that's not mine because I know they're not paying me enough. And I'm just wanting to even it up. And I'm giving myself a raise. Anybody know where it talks about stealing in the Bible? Raise your hand. You can put your finger on it right now. Exodus chapter 20, right? Ten Commandments. What about over there in Romans chapter, 13? About thou shalt not kill. All the commandments are summed up in thee. Get in the book. Get in the book. Get in the book. Find out where it talks about your problem and memorize it. And then one more thing. Get that flesh crucified. Now I'm going to just throw something at you here tonight and I'm going to have an invitation. I've heard people say, boy, I got to crucify my flesh. Do you know you can't do that? You can't crucify yourself. The Bible says mortify your members, right? It don't say crucify yourself. You can't crucify yourself. But I'm going to get up in the morning and I'll crucify my flesh. Hey, you can nail your feet on there. And then you nail one hand on there. Who's going to nail this other hand? You can't crucify yourself. It's impossible. The world is crucified unto you and you unto the world. If you give yourself to God and you will be crucified to the world. Paul said, I die daily. You're not supposed to crucify your members. You can't crucify your members. You're to mortify your members. That means kill them. Punch your eyes out. If that's what you got to do, that's what the Bible says to do. Kill them. Kill them. Die daily. Now, when Paul said, I die daily, he wasn't talking about getting up every morning shooting himself. He's talking about his flesh. It's got to be dead. It's got to be crucified for the world and the world under you. That's right. Maybe there's somebody here tonight been having trouble with the flesh. That's a stupid thing to say, ain't it? This many people here tonight and me get up and say something like that. And I tell you tonight, we can have victory one day at a time. It's a bigger war than what's going on in Saudi Arabia tonight. It's a war with our flesh. You say, I don't understand that about crucifying it, Brother Danny. I don't either. But I know one thing. We are to be crucified, but we are to mortify our bodies. Let's stand, bow our heads, and go to the Lord in prayer. I know there's probably people in here tonight, you say, Brother Danny, I know you're right, and I've tried it and tried it and tried it and tried it and tried it, and I keep messing up and keep messing up and keep messing up. Well, join the crowd, friend. You're in good company. Join the crowd. We've lost a lot of battles, but we ain't going to lose the war. Get back on the front line tonight. Get back in there for God. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we'd recognize Amalek as soon as he comes up and that we'd fight and retaliate. Do our part, resist him in the power of the Word of God, not in our flesh. Lord, we're weary of fighting many, many, many times. The battle seems so long, and it seems like we lose so many times. But Lord, we want to fight tonight. Dear God, give us, put fight inside us. We can't do it in ourselves. Forgive us for even trying. We want to be strong in the Lord.